Cabernet tends to be the sort of Errol Flynn of the grape varieties.
The most expensive beer in history.
People will turn around to me and say, oh, I'm just making gin while I wait for my whiskey to get ready.
Because wine is an adventure.
Conventional winemakers who just condemn all natural wine as faulty.
The prestigious title of Sake Samurai.
Looking at whiskey in more of an artful culinary way.
They kind of look at it as a novelty more than anything. The guy from the rock bands is making wine.
This is the Drinks Adventures podcast. I'm James Atkinson, and this is the show where I speak to some of the world's most exciting producers of beer, wine, and spirits and uncover trends and issues in the drinks industry today.
Try and make Celebeck almost a dummy full forward.
Brogan down to Motlop, who rolls it towards goal. He can kick seven.
Oh, no.
Spins around.
Oh,
that's the best of them. All hail Daniel Motlop. We have a new king.
If you're a fan of Australian rules football, you'll surely know the name Daniel Motlop. A three-time Indigenous All-Star, Daniel played a total of 130 senior games for the North Melbourne and Port Adelaide football clubs. Daniel is a proud Larrakia man. The Larrakia people are the traditional owners of the Darwin region in Australia's Northern Territory. And since finishing playing footy, Daniel has embarked on a new career as an Indigenous food and beverage entrepreneur. You may have heard previously on this podcast how Daniel, through his food business Something Wild, created his first spirit, Green Ant Gin, in partnership with Adelaide Hills Distillery's Sasha LaForgia. This is Sasha speaking back in Season 3.
So Something Wild have a permit to collect green ants in an area. They can take, you know, a certain amount of ants per square kilometre in a region. They grow in the nest. They take the ants out of the nest, put the queen back in the nest and return it so it can regenerate, and then they put the ants into the freezer and they go to sleep, and then they get packed into tubs and sent to us.
Green Ant Gin has been hugely successful, and in April 2020, the ASX-listed company, now known as Mighty Craft, purchased a controlling interest in the brand to work with Daniel in accelerating its growth. They've recently announced that Green Ant Gin is just the first in a range of products they'll be releasing under a new banner, Seven Seasons Spirits. I caught up with Daniel to find out some more about the origins of Something Wild and his exciting plans to take Seven Seasons Spirits to the world. And I took the opportunity to ask his opinion on some of the ethical considerations involved with using native ingredients in drinks, as many Australian producers rush to embrace these incredibly unique flavours. Daniel Motlop, thanks so much for joining us on the Drinks Adventures podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Take me back to, you know, when you were coming to the end of your playing career. Was the work that you're now doing with Something Wild, was that something that you were already thinking about when you were still playing footy?
No, I was looking for an opportunity, I suppose, after footy. You know, you start playing footy AFL at about 17 and you haven't really worked in your life. So I went back to Darwin looking for opportunity. I've become the Chief Minister's advisor for Indigenous Affairs straight after footy, pretty much. And I took that opportunity and I learned a lot about business and creating economic development in Aboriginal communities. And I decided to set up a business that for harvesting, Indigenous native foods, I guess. So, and then it led me to buying Something Wild in the Adelaide Central Markets and starting a couple of companies like the Seven Seasons that you see now.
What was the history of Something Wild prior to that point? It was basically a market stall in the famous Central Market there, was it?
Yeah, it was basically like native game and native game shop. And, yeah, we were selling to that basically out of Rene Ritz had become the Darwin and wanted all his native ingredients into a pop-up into Sydney called Noma. And we were lucky enough to show him around, you know, APY lands, Tiwi Islands, Arnhem Land, and all parts of Darwin as well, and show him what we have to offer the world, I guess. And, yeah, he used those in his pop-up in Sydney. And then my family, you know, got really involved in it and said, we want to buy Something Wild in the Central Market and create, I suppose, a sense of put native greens in there as well. So it's a bit of fresh fruit and veg, like, everywhere else in there, and also do the game meats. We also added the magpie goose to that, which no one's ever done before. So we got the first commercial permit to ever supply magpie goose to restaurants. So that was exciting, and then it's led us to where we are today.
When did you first conceive the idea to do the Green Ant Gin?
2017, I think it was. Yeah, it was just an idea. We were collecting green ants, and Rene actually used green ants in one of his alcohols for the pop up in Sydney, and that sort of led us to the idea: let's do a vodka with green ants in it, like the worm in tequila, I guess. And yeah, the guy said, "Look, let's do gin instead because it was going to go crazy, apparently, which it did." And yeah, all of a sudden we had this brand that people loved. People loved the smell of, people loved the look of, and the taste.
The flavour profile, the green ants kind of plays well with juniper, doesn't it, as well? You've got some of those piney kind of characters coming from the ants, or maybe citrusy kind of characters.
Yeah. So obviously ants were used as a tea for Aboriginal people, very high in vitamin C. But we also, in our green ant gin, we also got strawberry gum, finger lime, lemon myrtle. So, yeah, that's where you get a lot of that smell and flavour as well. And the ants just give that citrus pop to it. So, yeah, very citrusy. It's a bit like biting a bit of lemon, I guess.
I think green ant gin's already available in export markets, isn't it, where I believe it's doing pretty well overseas because it's certainly pretty unique compared to some of the other gins out there?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's going well. It's just a matter of, you know, the whole export opening back up a bit more and people travelling more around Australia. I don't think we really need to export at this stage because everyone's just loving the Australian story, and it's with any product, I guess, in Australia. Everyone's shopping more. Everyone's supporting local. We're lucky enough to be very local and people have shown heaps of support around the green ant gin. So it just needed a home and now we've got it and we're excited about the next steps.
The Larrakia people believe there are seven seasons, with each one marked by different natural cycles. The newest addition to the Seven Seasons Spirits range is Bush Apple Gin, a product of monsoon season, which runs from January to March. It's the time of the year when the fruit of the bush apple is ready to be picked from the treetops.
And that's the reason, you know, the bush apple goes into that gin during that season. We've got all the writing on the back of our bottles that explain what occurs during those seasons. If you look at the green ant, we harvest all the green ants during big wind time. So, it's, yeah, very windy up in Darwin, obviously, during that time. And then the native yam vodka that we're releasing in May, that'll be during the rainy season. So you can sort of see where this is going with the seven seasons. We'll have seven alcohols based around the seven seasons of Larrakia. So we're looking down the whiskey line. We're looking around some Amaros, things like that.
You were a bit of an enthusiast for premium spirits, I'm guessing, to develop this interest in making your own gins and other spirits?
Yeah, I suppose. No, I wasn't really right into it. I was thinking a more commercial side in the sense of how can we move more native ingredients so that we can employ more people, so that we can buy more from Aboriginal communities. Because I was finding that a lot of chefs and that were going into Northern Territory and into communities and, you know, promising the world to people and not really selling enough of it to make it a sustainable job. So if I can put native ingredients into things like these spirits, we can buy a lot more every year during those seasons. So my focus really was on the commercial side of it and creating jobs and benefit for Aboriginal people, I guess. And it's turned into, I suppose, a passion of mine now in the, you know, developing these spirits and the stories behind them and where the ingredient comes from.
Tell me about bush apple. It's probably going to be a native ingredient that not many people have heard of before. Where's bush apple found and what sort of flavour profile does it bring to the gin?
Yeah, so it's I suppose when we talk about bush apple, it is obviously just a name because it looks like an Australian apple, I guess. It's basically really tart. No one really knows how to use it in food, so it was very hard to sell. But obviously with alcohol, you can, you know, take it, macerate it and make a really nice colour out of it. You know, the colour of our gin obviously represents the bush apple. But it's really tart. It's got a big seed in it. When you eat it fresh off a tree, it is very crunchy. But what we were finding is we had to freeze it before we got it to Adelaide. So trying to sell it to restaurants was just too hard because it become frozen, then it'll go all soggy. So we had 3 tons sitting in our freezers here in Adelaide and really had nothing to do with it. So we tried it in the spirit, the bush apple, and it came off really nice.
Tell me about the flavour profile of the gin. And, I mean, obviously, gin's always got to be juniper-led. How does the bush apple play with the juniper, and what other botanicals are you working with there?
Yeah, so we've added, there's a little bit of lavender in there for a bit of smell, and obviously a bit of cherry blossom sort of flavouring, cotton candy, I guess, smells. And, yeah, it's just, it's a bit more of a dry and goes nice in a sweet and sour cocktail, and really nice in a Negroni. So, yeah, I sort of love my Negronis as well. So I love making them with the bush apple rather than the green ant, I guess.
Yeah, what was your exposure to cocktails like that? I mean, I wouldn't imagine during your playing career that you would have been drinking too many Negronis.
No, I really knew nothing about spirits, alcohol, beer, whatever you want to call it. I wasn't a huge drinker while playing. So, I mean, I've sort of developed my drinking after my footy, I guess, in being involved in the business and the spirit side. So I'm still learning what I'm doing, what we can actually do, and learning about, you know, even the distilling side I'm still learning about. You know, I sit down and work out recipes and what we can actually use into these spirits, but I'm really way off it in that sense, but I've obviously got an idea for how I want something to taste through my culture, I guess.
And which distillery are you producing the spirits at?
Yeah, so we work up at Seppelsfield at the moment. We're looking for the home of Seven Seasons at the moment. So we'll have our own cellar door up in Darwin, and then also production here in Adelaide that I can't talk too much about, but yeah, it's close. So.
You mentioned the vodka?
Native yam vodka.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, so the native yam vodka, we basically had three types of yams that we were trying to work out how to make this vodka. We end up choosing two of them, and, you know, we're using 45% of one and 55% of the other, and there's a lot of testing around the taste and which ones we should use. So at the moment, with the native yam, we get all that out of Madame Greta. So, yeah, it was just another thing that you couldn't sell because it was frozen, not fresh, seasonal, and we've managed to work out a way to make it a commercial product so that we can keep buying back from the community. And you sort of get that coconutty, earthy taste out of the vodka, which is pretty amazing, something different. You know, I've been a vodka drinker from when I was 21, 22, and I really want to get people back into drinking vodka like they do gin, I guess. So, and this might be the way to change that too.
Is there anything you can tell us about what you've got in store for whiskey? Because if that's going to involve, you know, maybe native cereal grains, that's very exciting.
Yes, I can't say a lot, but we have done some testing and on a few different things from the Northern Territory, some different woods and that sort of stuff as well, so that represent something close to my culture. It will have that story behind it with whatever it is, I guess. So, yeah, it's just exciting to be able to use these ingredients. And what we're finding at all our trade shows is it's not really about the spirits and everything. It's a lot of this business is about teaching our culture, and it's creating a conversation, I guess, at a bar, you know, two blokes sitting in a bar, you know, what's this? Oh, it's green ant gin. They have a try it, they taste it, and where's it from? They got ants in it. So it creates a bit of a conversation around where ingredients are from and, you know, who we are, I guess.
There's obviously been a real drive amongst really top restaurants and also distillers as well to start incorporating native ingredients into what they're doing. Do you have any concerns with the way that some of these ingredients are being sourced?
No, not really. I think we're moving a bit more down the commercial side in terms of farming. I've got a farm myself that does farm things like Warragul Green, Samphire, Sea Blight, things that grow coastal, saltbush, coastal rosemary, lemon myrtle trees. I grow all of those as well. But there's things that I would never try to grow, and that's things from the Northern Territory. We have a system up there that I wouldn't allow people to take it from an area and plant it down south, because obviously we've heard the story about the macadamia nut. The macadamia nut is Australian native ingredient, and the wines took it over there and made it famous, and you know, planted crops and sell it back to us. So we don't want that to become like the Kakadu plum. You know, the Kakadu plum, if it ever gets taken out of, you know, the areas that it's grown in naturally and planted, you know, overseas, and Aboriginal people lose the benefit to that. And obviously Aboriginal people have harvested these things for thousands of years, and to take that and Australia not put an IP on it, or you know, make it illegal to take out of the country, you know, it just doesn't benefit Aboriginal people in any sense. And they lose a sense of being involved in the economics of what where this native food game is going.
But are there some suppliers, though, of some of these ingredients that are perhaps not benefiting the Aboriginal people with through their businesses, that maybe distillers, for example, should be trying to buy, make sure they're buying ingredients from the right sources, like Something Wild?
Yeah, I think it's just, I think it's more the exploitation of, you know, saying that you're buying something from someone, and it's really not a lot of benefit. And, you know, putting up photos of someone harvesting and really only buying 1 kilo. And, you know, it just, you look on, there's a lot of people, you know, doing it, I suppose, and saying that they buy from you and that don't actually do it, but yet they'll tell the story they do. So, you know, for the benefit of themselves, I guess. So it's just exploiting Aboriginal people, I guess. I'm not going to say I'm buying from Manning Greeter and creating jobs if I'm not actually doing it. We buy a significant amount of product from those guys, and we'll continue to support Indigenous businesses as an Indigenous business ourselves by doing that.
What's that business called, sorry?
Manning Greeter. So Barawanga, they're called. So Barawanga, and then my family, my brother, and that harvest everything through the Northern Territory. And then we also have a supplier at a Wadair in the Northern Territory as well that supply Kakadu plums to us for our yogurt.
What about when you hear people talking about foraging ingredients to make a gin, for example? Are there, once again, are there ethical considerations there about where they're foraging from?
Yeah, I think we just have to be careful and make sure it is sustainable. You know, Something Wild has permits for certain areas to be able to harvest in certain areas that are given by NT government and also the SA government. And then Manning Greeter and the Wadair people, they also go to government and get permits to be able to harvest certain amounts off the trees. The reason we work with traditional owners and, you know, Aboriginal people is they really know the land in their areas that they're harvesting. So most of the time they'll tell us that, you know, the trees have had enough, or the there's not enough here for that. And that's how we developed, you know, the three alcohols is that, or the three spirits is basically, we went down the road of looking for something that's sustainable for jobs and to go a long way and be able to harvest this thing forever. And these were the three products we could do that at this stage.
Where are the products distributed? They go out through the, you know, the Mighty Craft network of their own venues, obviously. And are you out in some of the major retailers now as well?
Yeah, Coles and Woolies, all the bottlers around those guys. Yeah, we done a range review with Coles and they put us in most of their stores. So we also, our distributor is Mighty Craft. Obviously, being a shareholder as well, it really suits us well, I guess, as a family to team up with those guys distributing their product and our product. So it's a lot easier in that sense. I still get out with them. I'm also work as well with the Mighty Craft team to actually get our stuff in. And yeah, we've done a big marketing plan over the last 6 months, worked hard on what we really wanted to release and how we want to be seen as a company. And yeah, this is where we've led to. So it's exciting.
Are you going to be travelling around and doing events where people can hear from you direct about the products?
Yeah, we've been to the Gold Coast, we've been to Brisbane, Melbourne, we're going to Sydney next week. So yeah, we're out and about now doing trade shows, consumer, all that stuff at the moment. So we just, obviously the launch was the big launch here in Adelaide, and now it's just business and getting out to bars and restaurants and telling our story, and hopefully people like the taste of the spirits.
Is it getting into the hand of bartenders in some of the good cocktail bars around as well, some of your spirits?
Yeah, the Green Ants, obviously everywhere, so it's not too hard walking in with the next thing, because everyone's been, I suppose, waiting for what's next after Green Ant Gin, and everyone is very excited. But yeah, it's just awesome to be able to tell our story, I suppose, in a bar, and people engaging in that. We have some really big groups, you know, and done some Seven Seasons shows along the Gold Coast, and yeah, the turnout's been great. So yeah, even the launch last night, it sold out, which was awesome.
Well, congratulations on the launch of the Bush Apple Gin. Really looking forward to trying it, and hopefully we can catch up in person next time.
100%. Thanks for your help, eh, and your support.
The Drinks Adventures podcast is produced by me, James Atkinson, with additional production and mixing by Dave Robertson. You can find complete transcripts, links, and other information on the show at drinksadventures.com.au. You can follow me on all social media platforms at by James Atkinson, like my Facebook page, James Atkinson Drinks Adventures, to be kept informed of podcast giveaways and other news about the show. The Drinks Adventures podcast needs your support as listeners. Please do us a favour and leave an honest review and rating for the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. We love hearing your feedback, and it helps inform other people this is a show worth listening to. Or simply drop us a line at hello@drinksadventures.com.au.